Oates in an interview I was reading with him recently. And, you know, if you listen to the first Cars album and understand where that was coming, I mean, there was the punk and, in fact, the Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten purposefully degraded Roy Thomas Baker as they went past the studio about the overproduction. And, well, they did that with Queen, and if you... The first Cars album, it just goes from that kind of post-punk, new wave, kind of click, 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 clean, more minimal, and then the choruses come in, and it's just Bohemian Rhapsody and Bicycle Race and all of that right there on the choruses. Wonderful. And then, from Tone Poems 3, by Mike Albridge, Bob Brosman, and David Grisman, we heard Fort Worth Drag. Well, 1 minute, 5 seconds of it. And that's one of those CD albums you really should buy because it's got a wonderful full-color booklet with entries for each one of the songs showing you the instruments as well as detailed notes. Then it was Dragon Ash once again with a song from Rio de Emocion, The Narrow Way. And we finished up with my Plastic Sushi Femdom remix of the Australian band Jets song, Cold Hard Bitch. And yeah, they named themselves after the Paul McCartney and Wings song, Jet. So we're now in the second hour, and as I mentioned, we've got the listener line open, 855-915-9636, and I'm going to play two more sets for you. This first one, I've got some things already prepared, but we're going to end it with some listener requests. And what I have got figured out right now is we're going to hear from the feminist author and theoretician, should we call her, Betty Friedan, excerpt from a 1964 interview where she's talking about boys of the time with their long hair. And I got that overlaid on Khaki King's instrumental Solipsist. And we're also going to hear another song from Aerosmith, a live version of their Mamakin, which Mamakin in Steve Tyler's way of thinking is the life force behind everything living. And also, we're going to hear my James Old School Junkie remix and sonic montage of Brian Eno's The Lost Day. This is a James the Old School Junkie was hanging out in San Francisco, and he was interviewed. And it's a kind of shocking, when you think about it, life that he's chosen, taking advantages of opportunities, and he's selling drugs, and he's kidding himself, and trying to, it's a crazy thing, but you should, like, hear it and think about what he's saying. Also, some Deep Purple, a deep cut from their 1972 Machine Head, Maybe I'm a Leo. Yeah, you're not going to hear that on other radio stations, certainly not the so-called classic rock stations. But first, let's get going with another selection from our featured Japanese band Dragon Ash's Rio de Emocion album. Here they are with Round Up. Only on WMFO. Thank you.
Where are you from?
Louisiana, Texas area.
How long you been in San Francisco?
Since June. If you're gonna be homeless, it's pretty here. I mean, if we're gonna be realistic, they pay you to be homeless here.
When you said that San Francisco pays people to be homeless, what did you mean by that? You mean that literally?
Yeah. I mean, I get $620 a month, dude.
From general assistance?
Yeah.
Or how was that hard to get?
Phone call, bro. Phone call. 200 food stamps and $620 cash a month.
Wow.
Forget about it. Why wouldn't I do it? You know, it's free money, dude. Yeah. This right now is literally by choice. Literally by choice. Like, why would I want to pay rent? I'm not doing it. I got a cell phone that I have Amazon Prime and Netflix on. We used to battle with the cops. Now, it's like the cops are, it's like they're your neighbor, you know? The cops told us this morning, like, oh, it'd be easier if you guys packed up in the morning. We wouldn't have to come out here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, pack up in the morning. And I'm like, why? You know? He's like, oh, okay. And then went on, his two kids came up and they're like, hey, you guys know where to get any Oxycontin? They're like, I'm 15 and I'm 16, you know? Like, I'm an old school junkie, you know? And I'm like, look, dude, I'm gonna tell you right now, like, you're not gonna get Oxycontin out here on the street. I was like, how much money are you trying to spend? And they're like, we got $40. And I said, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I am going to take your money. And I went and I got a fentanyl. And I brought it back and I set it down in front of them. And I said, this is a gram of fentanyl. This is enough to kill six people that have never used it. What I do to get high is this much. And I showed them how much I do. I was like, I'm keeping your money, and now I'm going to teach you how to save each other's lives, because you're not going to stop. I can't steer you away from doing it, but the best thing I could do for you now is give you real drugs and show you how to do it properly and show you how to save your friend's life. And I showed him how to pull up Narcan and how to inject each other with the Narcan needle in case they died. I needed the money, let's be honest. I've talked to the cops here. I'm literally 10 feet away from the drug dealers talking to you guys. Why don't you just go arrest them right now? And they're like, arrest him for what? And I'm like, dude, what? He's like, San Francisco is a sanctuary city. We arrest the Hondurans, we put them in jail around 2 days later.
Right.
If letting the Hondurans deal on the corner every day, somebody's getting paid with fentanyl. Well, you can get red, blue, green, yellow, orange. And they're like, oh, this is a new color. It's a fire, puppy. It's fire. It's a orange. And you're like, what's the difference between orange and yellow? Because it's orange. Okay. All right. And they buy it. Next week, oh, homie, I got the purple. It's a new color. What's different than purple and orange? Because it's purple. I've literally had friends be like, well, the purple only gets you high if you mix a little bit of meth in. It really thins it out. Like, who's winning off of this? You know, we're the homeless. We see it all. Like, all of it. We see the dirty side of it. You know, like people sucking rocks and, dude, it's disgusting, but who's really making the money off this?
Have you seen people OD out here?
Oh yeah, dude. I've saved six people's lives last week.
Never
even met before.
What were they using?
Fentanyl. Banging fentanyl. And you know what? I'll tell you something. All the Narcan bottles that I saved people's lives with, these ones, I clean them out and I wrap gold around them. And I sell them to this gay dude up in Castro. He pays me $65 for each Narcan. I can take you a dead body right now, dude. Some old homeless dude. He was there 4 days ago, and he was there yesterday in the same spot. He's got to be dead. I kicked him and be like, yo, you alive? And I mean, people are stupid out here. Use alone, you know? They pick a bag of fentanyl, and they'll get a different batch, and they're by themselves. And, like, no injury for days. The only reason I found was because I went up there. There's no cocaine in the crack here. I've tested it. I know good crack. I know real cocaine and real crack. I'm from the South, man.
Mama Ken.
other half of the revolution, the other half of women's liberation movement, is the boys in my country and in yours wearing your hair long. You know, and those boys who are wearing their hair long are saying no to the masculinity. They are saying no to that brutal, sadistic, tight-lipped, crew-cut, you know, Prussian, big muscle, you know, Ernest Hemingway, kill bears when there are no bears to kill, and napalm all the children in Vietnam and Cambodia to prove that I'm a man, you know, and be dominant and superior to everyone concerned, and never show any softness. Well, these boys that are wearing their hair long are saying, no, I don't have to be all that crew-cut and tight-lipped. I don't have to be dominant and superior to anyone. I don't have to have big muscles because there aren't any bears to kill. I don't have to, you know, kill anybody to prove anything. I can be tender and I can be sensitive and I can be compassionate and I can admit sometimes that I'm afraid and I can even cry. And I am a man. And I am my own man. And that man who is strong enough to be gentle is a new man. And he is the other half of this revolution, and he will live longer. I mean, he will die 10 years younger than women, as American men have been doing lately.
Maybe I'm Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Scarecrow, as everyone knows, stood with a bird on his hat and swore everywhere he didn't care. He stood in a field where barley grows. His head did no thinking, his arms didn't move, except when the wind cut up off and mice ran around on the ground. He stood in a field where barley grows. The black and green scarecrow was sadder than me, but now he's resigned to his fate, his hair's not unkind, he doesn't mind. He stood in a field where
You're listening to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage. Only here on WMFO in Medford. Tufts Non-Commercial Community Freeform Radio. This evening, we've got a pretty broad-ranging, random kind of theme with three featured artists. The Japanese hip-hop band Dragon Ash, most particularly their album Rio de Emocion. Irv Ty Bell and his Environment series from the 1960s and 70s. Like right now, where we're hearing his Psychologically Ultimate Seashore from Environments 1 in 1969, although I have sonically reversed it here. So we're playing it backwards. Like Turn Me On, Dead Man, like the Beatles. We kicked off that last set with Dragon Ash's Round Up from Rio de Emocion. And then it was my James Old School Junkie remix of Brian Eno's The Lost Day. That was shifted up an octave. And had an interview with James from the Louisiana, Texas area, who moved to San Francisco. And he was describing his life as a man, that guy. Who's he trying to fool? Like himself and everybody. Like those 15 and 16-year-old boys who walked up to him looking for OxyContin, and he gets them fentanyl, and he tells them that he can't stop them from using it. Of course he can. He can. What a crazy guy that is. And what society has come to with making this all happen that way. That's my comment on it. Then we heard from Aerosmith with a live version of Mamakin from the album A Little South of Sanity. And then it was my Plastic Sushi Betty Friedan 1964 Boys with Long Hair remix of Khaki Kin's Solipsist from Legs to Make Us Longer. Deep Purple followed with a deep cut from their Machine Head album, Maybe I'm a Leo. And then going out to David, it was Pink Floyd's Scarecrow from their Piper at the Gates of Dawn album. Yeah, way back in the 1960s. And then it was Electric Light Orchestra, Living Thing, from a New World Record. We're going to start off the next set with a request going out to Brian. This is from the Cult's Electric album. And then we're going to hear a Moroccan story as narrated by Paul Bowles from The Storyteller and the Fisherman. And then after that, who knows? If you've got an idea for a song you want to hear and I can find it in our Rivendell system, you can give me a call at 855-915-9636 and I'll play it for you. But first, going out to Brian, here's The Cult with Outlaw.
Renegade. The Muddin. Hadid and Ahram's father, having grown tired of his wife, decided to divorce her. She was completely without money, and she went to the town to look for Hadid and Ahram, so she could live with him. She found him staying in a very small shack that was almost empty of furnishings. At night they slept on the same mat, because there was only one blanket to cover them both. The shack was next to a mosque. Each night, an hour before dawn, the Muddin began to call from the minaret. Hadid and Ahram did not hear his voice, but it always woke his mother. She would seize the blanket and wrap it around herself, and then stay in the middle of the floor, praying, while the Muddin shouted. Hadid and Ahram, with no blanket over him, would wake and lie shivering on the mat. One cold night, he could stand it no longer. He sprang up, shouted, "Now I'm going to kill that man," picked up his axe and ran out of the shack. While the Muddin was still calling the Fajr, Hadid and Ahram rushed into the mosque and hacked off his head. Then he carried the head to a well behind the mosque and threw it in. When he got back home, his mother was still praying. He waited until she had finished, and then he said to her, "You're not going to hear that Muddin any longer. His head's in the well by the mosque." With that, he took the blanket, put it around him, and lay down to sleep. His mother, who understood what he had done, dressed quickly and went out to the shed where they kept a sheep. While it was still dark, she slaughtered the animal and hurried with its head to the well behind the mosque. She knew that when Hadid and Ahram woke, he would make no secret of what he had done. "If only I can get the head out of the well," she thought. She looked down and saw by the light of the moon that it had not fallen in, but was resting against some bushes near the top. So she reached over and pulled it out. Then she tossed the sheep's head down into the hole. After that, she went far outside the town to a lonely spot where she buried the Muddin's head. Early in the morning, they discovered the man's body at the mosque. The news spread throughout the town, and the man's sons came running and began to wail. The Mukhaznia stopped the people in the street to question them. "We want to know who killed the Muddin," they cried. When Hadid and Ahram woke, he went outside and saw a crowd of people in front of the mosque. He went and joined the crowd. "What is it?" he asked them. "What's happened?" They pulled Hadid and Ahram aside. "Something terrible has happened," they told him. "The Muddin has been murdered, and they can't find his head." "It's in the well over there," said Hadid and Ahram, pointing. "I threw it in after I cut it off." Everyone stared at Hadid and Ahram. "His voice was too loud, so I killed him," he explained. "Look," and he ran over to the well. They crowded around and watched him climb down. For a long time, Hadid and Ahram felt around in the water at the bottom of the well without being able to find the man's head. Finally, he found the sheep's head and pulled it out of the water. Then he called for the Muddin's sons to come to the edge of the well. When they were there, he cried, "I've found him, but I didn't know he had horns." He waved the head of the sheep at them. The onlookers found this funny, and there was much laughter. The Muddin's sons were angry and began to say that Hadid and Ahram was crazy and ought not to be let loose. Hadid and Ahram climbed out of the well. At that moment, his mother stepped forward and took him by the arm. Then, scolding him as they went along, she led him home.
I from A Night at the Opera. This is about a... We call him Death on Two Legs.
You've been listening to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries and Thyme Sound Collage only here on WMFO in Medford. We've been having a pretty free-form show for you. And we're closing out with Night in the Country by Irv Tybell, one of our three features. In the last set, we began with The Cult and Outlaw from their Electric album. Then it was Paul Bowles, the Musin, from The Storyteller and the Fisherman, music stories and recordings from Morocco, translated by Paul Bowles. And then a very cool cover of Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song by Demons and Wizards. And then some street sounds and music from the Gemma El Fnia in Marrakech. And then going out to Michael Boston, their song Party. And then, well, let me say right now, thank you so much for listening. I expect to be back again next week with another sound collage, maybe like this again. This was kind of fun. Got to play some songs for you. Well, I always do that, but... Okay, we're waiting for the automation to kick in. And it's not quite doing that. All right, what's going on with that? Let's put on the automation and see what goes on.